Blog Talk Radio.
Let's not stand on ceremony, mate. Let's start the show.
We would be honored.
Everybody to Cinema Royale. I'm Travis Hobson of Punch Drunk Critics, and on with me is fellow PDCer John Nolan. What up, man?
What's up, man? What's up, everybody out there in listening world?
That opening clip was from The Hunt, and you got a chance to see The Hunt, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know that you were, you know, eagerly awaiting its release. But I'm pretty sure that this whole coronavirus thing is just a front to keep the box office down for this movie by the man.
just for this movie, and just Bloodshot got caught in the shrapnel of it, I guess.
Well, as it always does. I mean, I think we talked for a second last week about Vin Diesel's track record with these solo adventures of his, like The Last Witch Hunter.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they tend to not go well for him. But we're definitely going to talk about The Hunt, because this was the most controversial movie of 2019, and didn't even come out. the movie
right.
Stirred up a firestorm, man, politically, because of what it was about. And it's, of course, it was 99% by people who had never seen the movie, because most people had never seen the movie except for a few test audiences. And basically the basic premise of it, yeah, I know, the basic premise was – a bunch of liberal elites were hunting down and killing MAGA hat wearing conservatives for sport. And yeah, that's the gist of it, but that's just the beginning. Obviously there's a lot more to it than that. And if you think that the liberals are posed as heroes, then you really don't know anything about the movie. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. That scene I played was great, because it was Betty Gilpin and Hilary Swank fighting, and they're two of my favorites, and I'm not going to lie, it was kind of hot. So that was a good scene.
yeah. And just to insert, and I know we'll talk about it in a minute, but if you're watching a movie where one group of people is killing another group of people pretty much unwarranted, and you're worried that the people doing the killing are going to be the heroes, you've got to get your shit straight in the first place anyway. That's always funny to me.
Exactly. You're definitely right. So we'll talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about Bloodshot, which is Vin Diesel's new film that Sony hoped would just be the start of a Valiant Comics cinematic universe. I have my doubts that's going to happen. And I'm going to say that a big part of the reason why it won't is because of the coronavirus, which we also got to talk about, because it basically, John, everything is gone for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Like everything's gone. Everything that was supposed to come out this month is done. It's been moved. A lot of the stuff that's supposed to come out in April is gone. You know, Fast and Furious is gone. The next major film for us, I think, is going to be like Trolls World Tour. And then maybe and then maybe Black Widow, and that's in May. That's May 1st. We're gonna
yeah,
be.
I mean,
we're not gonna have much to talk about, my friend. We're gonna have to like do all like Netflix stuff.
Yeah, or we're gonna have to do like throwback Sundays where we talk about, you know, we talk about the releases of March 20th, 10 years ago or something like that. But
yeah,
it's pretty wiped. But it's you know, the thing is, none of this stuff is gonna become. There's a lot of talk about the effects of the coronavirus and how it could change the industry forever. And the truth is that it's not going to change it forever. I mean, there's a lot of things they could do that I think would be good ideas. This is a perfect time for studios to do a test run of simultaneous releases, you know, to VOD, theaters, and DVD, because you can do it now under the guise of the coronavirus, see if it works or not. And if it doesn't, you don't have to do it again. And it's not like it failed. You were just trying it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the other thing is our summer blockbuster schedule has gotten earlier and earlier. Really, I want to say since the mid-2000s maybe, because it was pretty standard that Memorial Day weekend was the start of summer blockbuster season for a long time, you know, pretty much since Jaws created the season in the mid-70s.
Yeah.
But in the last 10 years, it seems like every year it goes back another weekend. And the cool stuff starts releasing earlier and earlier.
Right.
And now Fast and Furious was going to kick it off this year, but that's been moved. So, you know, we're going to start a bit later than we usually would.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, we're seeing so many delays and stuff now. And we don't have a lot of set dates for when some of these things are going to be returning, right? Except for, like,
right.
No Time to Die, which we know will be in November, and Fast and Furious 9, which got moved a year. That I don't understand. Like,
yeah,
I don't understand why they moved it quite so far. You know, that one I don't get. I was looking up something actually.
Is Universal slate
because when you brought up
that crowded?
Yeah, and when you brought up that the summer movie season keeps moving up earlier and earlier, I remember I've been talking about this since like 2001, because there was this article. I remember the headline in the article was. It was about The Mummy Returns, which had opened, I think, on May 1st or May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the earliest summer blockbuster release ever. Like, the summer movie season is here earlier than ever, I think was the headline. Something like that. And
right.
It's like, ever since then, it's been moving, you're right, it's been moving up earlier and earlier. And now we're getting to the point where the summer movie season is basically like all year. And it's like that because... Marvel, because look, we think of the summer movie season as a blockbuster season. Well, every Marvel movie is a blockbuster, and Marvel will have three movies a year.
Yeah.
So
and
the summer movie
that,
season is every year now.
Every
season is a blockbuster season now.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we don't even have that anymore. It used to be, like you said, summer was the time. Like, July would come around, you could count on a certain kind of movie to come out only during that period of time. It's not like that anymore. They come out all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the only part, February is probably the only month, and that's not even true anymore. I mean, it used to be divided up fairly straightforward, where you'd have January was your dump truck month. I mean, your dumpster month. Where you dropped everything in there, you usually have one, maybe two good action movies come out around then, and maybe one award style movie that everybody would forget by the time award season came around. And then you had May to the second week of August would be summer blockbuster season, and then you had November and December as award season. But they're all kind of melding together at this point. I mean, awards still tend to come out at the end of the year, and I don't think that'll ever change just because memories are so fleeting. You have to release your stuff right when everybody's talking about it. But as far as the blockbuster, they don't really seem to care when they release them anymore.
Yeah, and because the concerns now aren't just domestic. If we had stuck to domestic, you know, if it was only domestic box office that mattered, maybe things would be closer to staying the same. But it's global now, and so you don't really have those concerns anymore. And it's also the reason why this coronavirus thing is such a big deal, because it's not only if it's begun to affect the domestic market now, and we'll talk about that when we get around to the box office. This was like a 20-year low in terms of box office this week. But also because of a movie like Bloodshot, which, as I said in my box office post this morning, it was never going to be a domestic hit. Like, that was never the plan. The plan right. was for it to play like a Resident Evil or an Underworld, which is do just okay enough domestically and then really clean up overseas. That's the hope.
Exactly.
And the overseas market is shut down everywhere. China, Japan,
yeah,
Italy, everywhere. There is no international market for movies right now. And now we're seeing domestically that theaters are either shutting down or reducing capacity by half. So there's not much of a domestic market either. I don't know why they still put Bloodshot out. I honestly don't.
That's,
I don't know why they did it.
Yeah.
Because for a movie that was going to lean so hard on the international market, why put it out? That's the one I would have truly – I understand Fast 9. Fast 9 is the same way. Fast 9 will do great here and great overseas. But this one really needed the overseas market. And I'm like, why did you just – why did you bother? Why? Just – they should have waited.
The only thing I can think of is that they were scared to lose the – they're scared about the P&R money they have to put back out for all the publicity they've already done. But, you know
– yeah.
I've mentioned my problems with the publicity money that's spent before. I mean, I feel like, yes, obviously it does help public consciousness to put billboards up and things like that. But I think if you have a smart marketing department that can use the internet and all of its free resources, other than blogs, movie studios should always advertise on blogs and pay a premium. You can send your inquiries to info@punchdrunkcritics.com to advertise with us. But anyway, you know, in a world of this, I mean, more so than Fast and Furious, more so than No Time to Die, people aren't going to risk it. I mean, it sounds like a stupid thing to risk anything to go see a movie, but the truth is people will risk it to go see a movie if it's something everybody's going to be talking about because they don't want to be left out. But Bloodshot isn't that movie. You know, Bloodshot's yeah. a movie that is going to be word of mouth and you know, like you said, overseas. So for them not to move that, that really honestly seemed like the one that should have moved more than anything else.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit more about Bloodshot and that stuff in a few minutes. So let's talk about The Hunt, which also not doing box office this week. $5.7 million is what it started out with this week. It's really pathetic. And it's funny. This is such an unlucky film. Like, it went through all that crap last year. And let's talk about a little bit about what happened to it. So I talked about what the premise of the movie was. Well, as you would expect, that got the people on the right wing, conservatives, upset. Justifiably so. If you thought that that was all the movie was about, you'd be upset. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously none of them had heard anything or paid no attention to multiple explanations from people saying this is not what the movie's all about. but I believe that that was intentional, that they chose not to listen to that because it plays
right.
better politically to not listen to it and to just assume that, you know, Hollywood liberal elites just want to go kill conservatives, which is obviously not true. But it played better politically to pretend that was the case. And plus you had a couple of mass shootings around the same period of time, which also affected it. And you had tweets from the president, which impacted it. And the movie got pulled, was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a good while there, we had no idea if it was ever going to come out. There was
right.
no release date. We weren't sure. Right. We didn't know if it was going to be dropped on digital or something somewhere, someday or something. But eventually came out this week, Friday, and only $5.7 million. And it stars Betty Gilpin, Hilary Swank, who you heard brawling in that opening clip. There's a bunch of other people in it too. And some big names in it too. The funny thing about it is the big names don't last very long and they aren't important to the movie. I'm not spoiling
yeah.
anything there. And most people in the movie don't last very long, so don't worry about it. But the thing is, this movie is as balanced as it could be. Like, the thing that I liked about this movie so much is that it skewers both sides really well. Like, my favorite scenes in the movie aren't just when Betty Gilpin is killing people, although those scenes are great too because Betty Gilpin's awesome. My favorite stuff was when the liberals are like arguing with themselves, with themselves over how a person should be addressed. Can we call black people anymore? Stupid stuff like that. you know, and argue with themselves so much that they get themselves killed. And that is it's an extreme case in this movie, because this movie lives in the extremes on both sides. It is not that different from conversations I've had with liberals in the past who sit there and will go round and round in circles over what they can and can't say. And I'm like, just fucking talk like a person. It'll be okay.
But let's put it this way. If you don't feel gross saying it, it's probably okay. Assuming you're a good person in the start. And I think the funniest thing about this whole thing to me is how labels, and maybe it's a good indication of kind of what they're talking about in the movie, how labels can change how something is received. This movie has been done 1,000 times before. The difference is usually it's rich people hunting homeless people. You got Hard Target, Surviving the Game, The Pest, just a few of the movies that came out in the 90s.
The Purge is what, 3 or 4 movies of rich people hunting down the homeless and the poor.
Right. But when you sign the Republican and Democrat names, it becomes this big thing. And my favorite thing you mentioned, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole at all, but you mentioned that part of the reason it had problems coming out was that the president was tweeting about it. And the funniest thing about his tweets was how the term he used to describe this movie was racist. And this movie, if you just go ahead and while you're listening to this post, pull up IMDb, pull up the cast list, and spot a person of color in that list. And you know, go ahead and bring up the writers and the director too.
There's one person of color seen in the entire movie, and he's a joke.
Yeah,
he's a joke, and he's a black conservative. It's just, and he's spared. He's just a joke character. And that you see for like a few frames, and then that's it. This movie is the very last thing this movie is racist. But it just goes to show that the president never knows what he's talking about anyway. But it's just crazy, man. It's just a lot of people blowing stuff out of proportion and filling it, because no one had seen it. People were free to fill it with all the hate and the bile that they think the movie has, that they have within themselves. So they just fill it with that.
All these things that people talk about are just avatars for their internal issues and monologue. But the one thing this movie had that I didn't expect it to have, and honestly, it's I'm not even most likely, it's definitely because of exactly what you're talking about, how highly politicized it was. I expected it to be a politicized movie, meaning it had a lot of highbrow talk and a lot of subtext. And while there is some of that, I was not ready for the violence and gore that you get from the movie itself. It's a lot. If you take all that stuff away or keep that stuff in, depending on how you feel, but it's actually just a really fun movie in that vein. I've always had a soft spot for these, most dangerous game type movies. And this was, it wasn't groundbreaking, but I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's
and like
not groundbreaking.
Betty Gilpin
is terrific. Man, it's just, like I said, this movie lives in the extremes, and that goes to the violence too. I mean, within the first couple of minutes, a couple of people's heads get blown off. I mean, somebody falls into a bed of spikes, and then and then the person who falls into the bed of spikes, they have fun with that too. Like it's dark humor, but they have fun with it. And this movie is dark. It's meant to be funny. It's meant to be silly. But some of the insights it has are also very smart. I think it's a really well done film. I'm sad that it didn't do very well. But then again, I don't know what I expected from it. Part of me thought, and maybe if this coronavirus thing hadn't happened, I think maybe it would have done better. Because my belief is that because Bloodshot didn't do good either. And the one new movie that did do well was the faith-based drama, the uplifting faith-based drama, I Still Believe, that people, if they were going to venture out of the house, because most of us have been told to stay indoors, if they were going to venture out of the house, they weren't going to go see gloom and violence, because there's enough of that crap in the world right now, right this minute. So they decided to go see Onward, which stayed at number one, although it fell 60%, so it didn't do that great either. But people went out to see Onward, and they went to see I Still Believe.
Yeah. And you know what? There's one really, really important aspect of the coronavirus thing, especially with the fervor it's at right now, that's affecting these movies, especially movies like The Hunt. And it is obviously people aren't going to the box office, but movies like The Hunt, those are water cooler movies. It's word of mouth movies. And the only words out of anybody's mouths at the office or with their friends for the last couple weeks has been coronavirus. So, you know, kind of another indicator of it is that people aren't talking about this stuff. So people aren't finding out about these things. And, you know, thankfully the movie was, you know, it was only $14 million budget wise. So they've made a third of their budget back.
Yeah.
And it, you know, hopefully people won't forget about it and, you know, it'll make it back on VOD. But it's
going to have a long
life.
It's
been a blockbuster movie.
It's going to have a long life. It's going to be a cult movie, right? Like it's
sure.
going to be
no
around a long
that.
Time. What's that?
And there's no question about that. I mean, I think no matter how the movie did in the box office, it was destined to become a cult movie as soon as it had the release issues it had.
Yeah, I agree. So we both recommend The Hunt. Like I said, we're both a little sad that it didn't do very well at the box office, but then nothing did. This week, so
nope.
There you go. All right, let's talk a little bit about Bloodshot. But before we do that, let's play a quick clip from Vin Diesel's latest superhero film, in which he's not voicing a tree; he's an actual person.
You know, if I was dead yesterday, I wouldn't be able to sleep either.
Nah, I had a nightmare. Which doesn't make any sense, because how can you have a nightmare if you have no memories?
Trust me. Soon you'll remember enough to wish you could forget it again. I'm sure there's someone out there in the world who cares about you a great deal. You just don't know it yet.
I hope so.
That's like the least action-packed clip from that movie I could find. And the thing is, they didn't have a clip that had action in them. They showed, like, there were a couple of, like, TV spots and things like that. But in terms of clips, there weren't any that had a lot of action. And I don't know, maybe they're trying to convince us of the Vin Diesel acting thing. But
that's smart. No, I just said that's smart. You know, of all the things to bank on with Vin Diesel, let's bank on his acting.
So Bloodshot stars.
Before we get into it, not to interrupt you, before we get into it, as our local comics guru, Bloodshot, a lot of people won't know, but he's a hero from Valiant Comics, which is a smaller comics label. Is there anybody else we would know from Valiant Comics?
There's... Names? Yeah, I mean, there's Harbinger, and I think Exo Man of War. Can't remember if Youngblood was a part of them or not. I think they were. So I mean, they were. Valiant Comics was really big around the '90s and early 2000s. This is around the time when you know you had the big guns that broke away from Marvel, like your Jim Lee's and your Rob Liefelds. And they all went off and created characters that were similar to the Marvel characters that they had been, that they become popular creating. And Bloodshot, I mean, just the name Bloodshot, it screams
badass.
90s. It's what screams 90s too. His character is basically like part RoboCop, part Wolverine. Like that's basically who he is. He's an amnesiac who's been experimented on, gets experimented on, given a technological upgrade, and he's got no memory of anything. That's like RoboCop and Wolverine, like rolled into one. And, you know, in the 90s, that's the kind of character that you created, mysterious characters like that over and over again. And in this one, he plays a soldier who gets killed and gets reborn with nanobots. Infused into his blood, which give him superpowers, basically strength, durability, and rapid healing. So yes, he's Wolverine. And he has no memory of what happened. His entire storyline is like the Wolverine Silver Fox storyline. It's like a woman from his past that he like a a love from his past who gets killed in front of him, and now he's off for revenge. It's just a Silver Fox story, just given wider birth. And that's basically what this
right.
is, except he finds out that his memories can't be trusted. Shocker, because whose memories can never be trusted in movies? You know, and this corporation is basically manipulating him to be their weapon of war. And that's basically what it is. It's not a particularly deep plot. In fact, it's a very familiar one. And Bloodshot is a very familiar movie. It's just to me, I still ended up having fun with it more than I expected to. And it's by far not a great movie by any means. And Vin Diesel's acting is particularly bad in this film. Like it's particularly bad. Like it's the character's badly written. Number one, the character's not written well, so he doesn't have anything to work with, and Vin Diesel doesn't give it anything either. It's not much is demanded from him, but it has a couple of really
right.
cool visual scenes anyway. Like the scene with the flower truck in the alley, in the tunnel, which is like his first big action moment as Bloodshot. Where like the flower truck tips over and everything is in this crimson red, but it looks like snow. And most of it's done in slow motion. And that scene looks really great. And I wish they could have done more that looked like that, because the rest of the action scenes in the movie are pretty generic. But that scene is fantastic.
Yeah. I think generic probably is a good a good description for most of the movie. Now, you know, that makes it sound like a negative review, but you know, let me tell you a little bit about my afternoon. So I had some family stuff to do, and I was coming home, I was rushing. Don't worry, it's going somewhere relevant. I was rushing, and I said, you know what, I need to eat lunch. Let me stop at McDonald's, grab a double cheeseburger and a grilled chicken snack wrap. And I did that. You know what?
Bloodshot is
delicious.
Like a double cheeseburger movie.
It is. It's exactly what it is. And there's nothing wrong with a double cheeseburger every now and then. Sometimes
right.
it really hits the spot. And that's, you know, that and also they threw in somebody that I have really been a fan of since Baby Driver.
Let me guess who it is. Isaac Gonzalez.
Right. Exactly. Ding, 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 ding.
How'd I know?
Man.
You know,
I guess I do have a type, huh?
Yeah, you think so? she's kind of taken all the roles that Genesis Rodriguez used to get. Remember?
Right. Yeah. I didn't even think about it, but you're actually absolutely right.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Keep telling me about your day.
That was it. That was all a long metaphor just to say this is a double cheeseburger movie, and sometimes double cheeseburgers are good. But and also Toby Kebbell. I don't even know how to say his name. Is it Kebbell?
Kebbell.
Yeah. Let's not class it up.
Toby
Kebbell.
Yeah.
You know, that guy, he just pops up in everything here and there, and I'm always happy to see him on screen. I'm not really sure why, but I just like the guy. And they all played their double cheeseburgery parts just as well as you can expect. I do feel kind of bad for Vin Diesel at this point. I shouldn't, because the guy's, you know, the lead of a multi-billion-dollar franchise at this point. But
yeah, he's not hurting.
He's not, but he's one of us, man. You know, he's a real geek about this stuff. And he keeps trying to pull the, you know, give us things that we want, you know, pull these lesser known names out, you know, stuff like The Last Witch Hunter, which is a very cool premise, Bloodshot, which is a great idea. But he never really gets better than fast food movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little sad. I mean, it's true, but he's, you know, for his failures, you know, for as many failures as he's had, he's had some successes. You know, XXX, whatever you might want to think of it, has been a successful franchise. The Riddick movies have been a successful franchise. You know, whatever you want to think of them, they've been a financially successful franchise. There's been three of them. They've all done fairly well. Even the second one,
you know,
which is terrible.
I forgot that he had so many franchises until you just said that. Now I don't
feel
bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's had as many successes as failures. I mean, in terms of like the stuff that he's tried that is like genuinely his, and that he's like the, you know, as much as we say, well, Fast and Furious has become his. It didn't start out as his, right? It started out as just another movie, and it became his. But some of these other ones like Riddick and, well, I mean, start off with Pitch Black and Triple X, these things are centered around him and they've been successes. Now, yeah, The Last Witch Hunter bombed and this looks like it's going to tank. I think it made around $9 million this week, which is, it was estimated to make about 10. So it's not as if it fell off that hard. But like we said earlier, domestic was never where it was going to make its money. It was going to make its money in China and Japan, and it's not going to be able to do that. I guess the only thing they can do, and what they're probably hoping for, is that they can, because international releases are staggered all the time. So they're just hoping for this whole thing to clear up and the markets to open up, and then they'll release the movie at a later date, you know, in those areas, and they'll be fine, which may end up being the case. But in terms of right now, it's just like, oof, it looks really bad.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't harbor a lot of hope for a Valiant Comics universe, which, you know, was what they were aiming for, and they were pretty vocal about that before the movie came out, which I always think is just a bad omen to hope for the universe before you have the world.
Yeah, you shouldn't say
that. And the other thing is this movie really, you know, if you want to talk about how much it's hurt from not, you know, the possible international loss of revenue, this movie, from its, you talked about the visual style, even down to the coloring of the shots, are so international. I mean, it's like they picked everything about Resident Evil and Underworld and the other movies that were huge overseas and not big here, and said, this is what's worked over there. Let's make a movie based on that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this movie has some fun stuff in it. It's got Guy Pearce, who, to me, he's like the main one who knows what kind of schlocky movie that he's in. Like, he's...
Oh, yeah.
While the character is vastly different, I always think that about when he starred in that movie, Lockout, remember?
I'm sitting here thinking, what was it called? Supermax or something like that? Yeah, that's the movie I always think about with him in these kind of throwaway movies.
Yeah, I think the original may have been Supermax. And it was just a silly, stupid sci-fi action movie. And while his character is not like that guy at all, the movie, to me, could have been in that vein if they had wanted to make it that way. So he's having some fun with that role. I really like Isa Gonzalez, too. I don't even know if I'm saying her name right. I hope I am.
Well, I thought it was a lie like until 5 minutes ago, so.
I like her a lot. She gives more to that role. She plays like another person who has been given an upgrade, but she has like a major weakness that a Vin Diesel character doesn't have. She gives brings a little sympathy to that character that I don't think is given to it in the script.
Right.
And I really like Lamorne Morris as the sidekick, like tech guy. I thought he was really funny, and they gave us just enough of him where I didn't get annoyed with him, because he very easily could have been annoying. In fact, I expected him to be I was like, I'm going to hate this guy in about 10 minutes, but no, he's there just enough. So there's things to like about
assessment of it.
It's not a bad movie. Am I going to remember if somebody asks me about it in June? Probably not. I'm going to be
this
year.
You can always tell a movie that's going to be forgetful based on the Rotten Tomatoes reviews. And, you know, I don't really go there for a lot, but when your positive reviews sound like this, this is from a noted film critic, Travis Hobson. His quote from the review: chances are Bloodshot will come, go, and be celebrated only by Diesel's hardcore fans. And that's the positive review.
Yep.
I always think that's so funny. When the positive reviews still sound negative, you know you have an issue. But, I mean, like you said, this is a fun movie. And if people are trying to get their head out of the world but don't want to go and watch an uplifting, you know, Christian-type movie, then, you know, Bloodshot's probably the way to go this weekend.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are the two major releases this week. Unless there's something else that you saw this week that you want to talk about?
I really want to spend the next 25 minutes on I Still Believe, but I guess we can skip over it.
Did you see I Still Believe?
No, I didn't. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't see it either. And if I, yeah. The thing is, though, I would have had to see it if all my appearances on Good Morning Washington weren't canceled for the month.
Well.
So, thank you, coronavirus.
In your wheelhouse, so I think you'll be all right.
In theory, it is not in my wheelhouse. That said, it doesn't mean I wouldn't have liked it. And in general, a movie like that isn't that different from something like The Way Back. I mean,
no, it's not.
Yeah, so there's a good chance I might like it. And it had a secret weapon that probably could have been me over, and that's Britt Robertson, who I am a fan of. Let's just say. So
I think that's been stated on here before. And
yeah, I'm a fan.
Everybody that's listening, whenever Travis calls me a misogynist or calls me out for this stuff, just remember he says just as much of this stuff as I do.
Oh, I absolutely.
He says more classy about it.
I absolutely just think when you do it, telegraph it, and I already know it's coming, and I'm just waiting for you to do it.
I am nothing if not predictable.
But yeah, man, all my appearances got canceled from there because, you know, there's not going to be anything to talk about.
No.
Pretty much been moved. Jeez, we start at 9. Fast Furious 9 has been moved a year. So many releases. In May, I have to see how these things are going to go. But a lot of movies are getting pushed, and all of these in the fall, that's gonna be chaos. I don't know how that's going to look.
Yeah. I mean, it's really triple bad for a lot of reasons. Not only is the stuff getting pushed and relocated and you know, possibly losing the revenue there, but now it's going to be dropped into another weekend and up against a movie it might not have been up against. And then, you know, that movie's not going to make as much. So there's a lot of people shitting their pants, and a lot of financial guys in Hollywood shitting their pants right now.
Yeah. There was something else they got. Well, when F9 got moved, it got moved to the weekend that F10 was supposed to come out next year, which means that Fast and Furious 10 will have to get pushed. Now, we don't know where that's going to end up, but this is already changing the landscape of the Fast and Furious franchise. And I think 10 was what they were intending to be the final one. So I don't know.
Yeah. And that move almost makes me wonder if there's something else going, because that seems like a really far push. And if they had everything ready for 10, like they said they did, why would they want to delay it that long? I mean, it just seems weird.
Squeeze
to me, like,
in like a Hobbs and Shaw 2. Like they'll try to squeeze in a hot
or that
micro spinoff that they were talking about with Charlize Theron's character.
Oh, right. Well, they can spin off. I still want to see the Tyrese and Ludacris spinoff because those two making fun of each other, I could watch for 2 hours.
I think that would irritate you.
Yeah, probably.
I think they'll get on your nerves.
I don't know. I kind of like their back and forth quite a bit.
I'd much rather have the Giselle Han spinoff, like,
yeah,
or the Fast and Furious movie with like nothing but the women of Fast and Furious, like all of them
up. You talk about the misogyny. I'm telegraphing it right now. I want an entire movie of just Gal Gadot in that white tank top that she wore when she first debuted in the Fast and Furious movies.
That will
not get tired of.
Oh, yeah. No. No one will ever get sick of that. Her movie got the production halted on that, too. She's doing that movie Red Notice with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds for Netflix. That got held up, too. So.
Right. Well, and that's what we're seeing now. With the coronavirus, it's not just release dates. Now we're starting to move into production being halted. I mean, this could be like a writer's strike style situation for TV.
Yeah. No, it's pretty nuts. I mean, The Batman just got halted as well. Loki and WandaVision for Marvel's Disney Plus shows. And that's the thing with Marvel. If one thing moves and it causes a release date change, that affects the entire MCU. They plan these things out for certain, you know, specifically. They come out, the times are there for a reason. Like WandaVision leads to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, right? So you can't change one without affecting the other. Now, maybe they can do that for Black Widow because it's a prequel. Although I'm almost certain that Black Widow will end with a tag in the present day. I am almost certain of it.
Revealing that she's
almost
still alive.
Certain. No, I think it'll be Florence Pugh is taking over.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm with that.
Honestly, because Florence Pugh has shot up to the top of my list, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. She debuted in the top 10 on my list, I'd say. But you almost got to wonder if that's, you know, Black Widow being one of the only movies left that hasn't been moved. You almost got to wonder, is that because of that it's not coming out for a few weeks, or is that because that House of Cards is too unstable that if you move that one date, you're going to screw everything else up?
I think it's probably the latter. I think you're right. I think if they move one thing, it means everything needs to shift. And we saw what happened with Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi is being delayed right now, too, because the director, Destin Daniel Cretton, he has self-quarantined himself. He's being tested for the coronavirus right now. He's a new father, so he's being cautious. But he's self-quarantined himself, and so production on that film has halted. If it turns out he has it, who knows what happens to that production? Who knows?
Right.
So this whole thing is really, I mean, I'm already frustrated with people who act like this is just the flu and it's nothing serious, because that's not true. This is an entirely different ball of wax. People don't react like this to the flu. And trust me, businesses don't cost themselves hundreds of millions of dollars the way these things are doing right now. Over the flu or over some hoax or over something that's overblown. Trust me, the businesses don't work that way. They're not doing it. This is something else.
Yeah. So, no question there. You can follow the money and see how it is, but,
exactly.
Just as a side note, I agree with you. You know, it needs to be treated seriously, but I also think we should, put the death penalty in place for anybody that goes and hoards shit and tries to sell it for five times the cost outside, because they're not going to be in society.
Yeah. How many cases of toilet paper do you need, folks?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Disgusting.
Yeah. How many bottles of Purell do you need? I mean, it's interesting though. At my workplace, there's Purell, at least two or three in literally every room. And on every floor, around every turn, there's a big bottle of Purell. And it's just like, who was the one who came out and had to go buy all this stuff? I mean, it's just crazy.
That's true.
It's crazy.
Well, there is some justice in the world, because I've seen at least six stories. For every story I see about somebody going out and buying up everything Costco has, I've also seen a story about people whining because they bought all the stuff and nobody's buying it from them. Trying to jack it up. So
I saw that one story about that one guy who bought all that stuff. I don't know if it was toilet paper or if it was Purell. Maybe toilet paper. He bought a ton of it, and now he can't unload it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good.
Good. Yeah.
Good.
Enjoy your retirement. That's your 401k right there, all that Purell and toilet paper.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff is made here. There will be more. There's no reason to freak out.
And
if it was something that
you
could only get outside the country, then I'd be like, okay. But toilet paper, Purell, that stuff's manufactured here. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
There will be more. If they're sold out today, they'll have it back.
Yeah, and if infrastructure goes down so bad that they can't deliver that, we have much bigger problems than how we're going to wipe our ass, let's be honest. So,
exactly.
Either way.
And if it's really bothering you that much, get a day old. You can get them for cheap on Groupon. So just get a 100%. Bidet installed, and just shoot water up your ass rather than using toilet paper.
Yeah, or hop your nasty ass in the shower. It's usually right next to the toilet.
Or take a shower. Yes.
know how we got here, but we were talking about movies at some point.
We were talking about movies, but I think we're pretty much done. I think we could probably call it into the show. Honestly.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, because honestly, this week I spent more time posting about almost all of the news this week was about coronavirus delays and cancellations. There hasn't been a ton of stuff that's really worth talking about. There aren't any productions that are going on right now, so you're not going to see a bunch of casting. I mean, it's not
that
much to talk
about. And
so
the only news that's really been coming out, like you said, it's about things that have been canceled. So yeah. And we don't want to dig too deep into our other stuff because we got to have some kind of material for the next 3 or 4 weeks when nothing else comes out and we need to fill an hour to talk about.
No kidding. So we'll play it by ear and see how things go next week. We'll see if we can come up with some stuff. I'm sure there'll be. I mean, we can always bound to be something we can talk about next week. But we're like every place else, man. When the movie biz shuts down, it affects all of us. So we'll see, see how it goes. But I think we can call a wrap on this week's episode of Cinema Royale. Check us out, me and John, every day at punchdrunkcritics.com. And, of course, you can find us here on Cinema Royale every Sunday. I'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right, man. Later.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.